Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about all of our audience and listeners and viewers all around the nation and the world. It's exciting to be here every day to encourage so many people. We hear so much feedback. And I tell you, we have a fantastic program for you today. We're going to be talking about some second graders who are denied reading the Bible. Before we get to that, on the program today is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Hello, gentlemen. Steve.
Gentleman. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. My goodness. There's so many things happening, and we're going to cover so much today. But I'll tell you, you know, life is amazing. Life is good. But, you know, I got some news yesterday, and I just want to talk to you guys about this. But this was interesting and just like, you know, wow, what do you do with that? But, you know, so many times you live life and you're just going, you know, do the routine, what you have to do, your responsibilities, you go to your place of work and you just interact, get the kids off, make sure they're in school and every day, you know. And for some reason, we all know that things, you know, happen and, you know, things can move change at any moment. But when it happens to you, you know, or someone that you know, you just, it kind of just, oh, man, just kind of jolts you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, I happened to find out that a distant relative, a family member of mine, passed away. Mm-hmm. And, man, that just, like, I was like, wow. What, you know, it just really got me, you know? And I was able to get in contact with some family and talked. And she had some surgery that happened, and it didn't go well. And this was a wonderful woman. I mean, it was so much full of life and vitality. And I mean, there's some people that you meet that just in a few minutes, you're just like, man, you're cool. You know what I'm saying? You're just like, I like you. I like you. Mm-hmm. And she had that her name was Maria. She had that flair about her. And I didn't get a chance to see her much when I was growing up, but the time that I did interact with her and see her, and I saw her recently, actually, at her mom's funeral. And she was just so loving to my family and my children. Just, I mean, she made an impact. You know, in fact, on our ride home, my wife and Trisha were talking about, hey, wasn't Maria so sweet? And wasn't she so nice? Mm-hmm. And we just, you know, kept talking about her and our time together. But I was sad to hear about her passing and what her family, her daughter, you know, Yvette and her son Brandon and KK and all the family members, Ida and everyone that is going, you know, through the mourning process. But, you know, a smile came to my face when I remembered and just was reflected on how much she loved the Lord and that she had a relationship with God. And as I was talking to a family member, he was telling me, yeah, I'd go over there and have a cup of coffee and a slice of cake. And we'd talk about the word and she'd have her Bible open. And, you know, those are the things that you remember about people, you know, and it just reminded me again about the brevity of life and to appreciate and to understand what we're doing every day, why we're doing what we're doing, you know, that life is but a vapor. Mm-hmm. We're here today and we're going to be gone one day tomorrow in this life. Mm-hmm. And always at, you know, when someone's passed, you always think about the strongest things that happen in their life, the things that you remember. And the question for all of us today that, you know, are still here is, what do we want people to remember? Is what people are going to remember the things we want them to remember? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wish you didn't remember that. I can't forget that moment. Would you remember this other moment, you know? And to know, you know, where are we going? What is this whole, you know, life about? And let me tell you, if you don't know, it's about Jesus. It's about knowing him. It's about coming into the saving knowledge, the revelation of who he is. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk in one of our programs, because we're four programs back to back, about this beautiful person, fully man, fully God, Jesus, and the great humility that he walked in that just still marvels us today. But this is what it's all about, knowing him, him knowing you, and walking in intimate fellowship with him. And out of that fellowship, he will produce so many wonderful, beautiful things in your life that you'll just be totally amazed. And that's it. You know, that's it. This is life. And Jesus came that we would have life and more abundantly, but it gets us to focus on what are we doing here and what are we doing to affect the lives mm-hmm. of others? Right. What kind of impact are we having on people? You know, I've been to so many funerals. I mean, I can't even count how many funerals. And this, I've been to a bunch of funerals as a child, and as an adult, I went to even more. But, I mean, probably well over 30. I mean, I just, tons of funerals. And it always amazes me, you know, of things that are said, that moment of the person, how they lived, what they, you know, what kind of impact they had on others. And also about who was there and who wasn't there and who was there to carry mm-hmm. a casket and who mm-hmm. wasn't. And oftentimes I've noticed that, you know, the people that are carrying caskets are so far removed from the actual person that actually passed away. And you wonder, you know, what is that all about? Mm-hmm. You know, what was missing in that opportunity to develop relationship that you couldn't find anybody? You know what I'm saying? There was no one there to build a relationship that maybe a stranger had to carry the casket. Mm-hmm. And we need mm-hmm. to be living a life that has impact, that has fruit, that there's, you know, hey, I'm sorry, we can't have 50 people carry the casket. I know you guys all want to, and, and he would want you to, but we can't have 100 people carrying the casket. You know, we have to boil it down to just 6 or 7. This is going to be a hard thing to do. And that's not sometimes always the case. And you realize that in your home that you're going through trials and you're going through, you know, hardship maybe in your life today. And it seems to be so much bigger. It seems to be just wearing you down, and it's robbing and stealing your joy. It's bringing discomfort and maybe even strife in your family. But when you think about the alternative and you think about, hey, this is going to be over. You know what I mean? This is going to be over. Understand that perspective is a beautiful thing. It helps us to realize, hey, you know, we probably don't need a major on something that is quite minor at this moment. You know, in light of eternity, in light of what is to come, we need to bring things back into perspective. But I just wanted to give a special shout out, Maria. You'll be missed and you're loved, and our prayers and heart is with all those that are mourning today. But, you know, our hope always is in Jesus Christ. And we'll have the joy one day, hopefully reuniting with all the ones that have passed and gone before us, those who have known the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a beautiful reunion mm-hmm. and one that I'm excited about. And we have that chance every single day to mm-hmm. recalibrate, reset, refocus, and understand, why are we here? Mm-hmm. Why are we here? Mm-hmm. And who are we living for? And I'll tell you, there's nothing greater than living for Jesus. And so if you yourself haven't made that decision, you've been hanging around the cross and you know of God and you may be familiar with church and the body of Christ and you're familiar but you don't know him. There's a lot of people know about him. There's a ton of people that know about God, mm-hmm. Jesus. But you personally don't know him. You personally, when you evaluate your life, when you just look in the depths of your heart, if you were very honest with yourself, you would say, you know, I know who he is. I know about the cross. You know, I went to church. I know the mm-hmm. Bible stories. I know all that. Right. But if you were to ask me if I know him, do I have intimate relationship? No, I would say no. If that's you, then let me tell you, you can make that decision. And not just hang around the cross, but get on the cross, die to yourself, and live for Jesus. Give your life to him. He'll change your life forever. Mm. And it'll be the best decision of your life. You know, your things that are going on in your life may not necessarily change, but at least you know the one who holds tomorrow and holds the keys to eternity and life. And trust me, you know, I'd rather have a bad day with Jesus than a great day without him.
That's right.
And he's Lord, he's master. You know, we have so many things to share. I don't know if you saw this, Pat or Steve, but in Texas, I believe in Texas, a second grader, of all the things to deny, I mean, I understand, you know, don't bring your toys to school. You know, I understand, keep your cell phone at home. Don't bring your cell phone to school, you know. I understand the iPad and the iPod and you know, I understand it. Don't bring that here. This is, you know, an educational facility. Don't bring those just bad stuff and leave that at home. But a second grader was denied reading the Bible at school. And guess what? Denied during personal reading time.
His own time.
Yeah, this wasn't like, you know, hey, don't read the Bible during math.
During class.
Yeah, well, that would be appropriate. You know, you don't read Bible in class because we're doing math right now. Yeah. That would be normal, right? That's okay. But not to be able to read your Bible when the child has what they call, and this was CBN reporting, independent time where they can read whatever they like. And so the parents have gotten involved, and they're getting in contact with the school district, and they're trying to make this thing right, and it's still in the process. But it just causes you to think, I mean, really?
Wow.
And then we're concerned why things are happening in schools. Mm-hmm. We're concerned about, you know, the violence that's taking place.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, you know, don't bring a gun, you know, but your Bible, you can't bring that either. Don't read that either, you know. What does it come to?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, hello, that's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb. And I'm longing for the day that we can get back to that, where more children are willing to bring their Bibles to school, where more children are willing to read and have Bible studies in their school, you know, and where prayer would return back to school. I had a chance many years ago to kind of co-sponsor the children in different schools had these school meetings where they would come together and did Bible study, and it was just before school met, before, you know, before school started, but they would come in early, about half hour to 45 minutes early, get this, to do the Bible club.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a youth pastor at that time, I was like a sponsor. I would go and kind of help them out, but it was all student-led type of stuff.
Right.
And I was amazed at their commitment and their love for Jesus and their willingness to reach their campus, their students there. And you know what? That's happening all around the country in different places. It doesn't get reported much, but I, you know, you look at second grade, come on, you know, we need to see more of what that's going on. We need to see more Bible clubs. We need to see more children reading the Bible. We need to put that in the forefront of our education. Things will go a whole lot better, I think, if we would invite God back into our schools, allow prayer back into a school. And you know what? Of all the textbooks and books that the children can be reading, maybe required reading wouldn't be a bad idea to make Bible required reading.
Put the Bible back on the list.
I'm just saying. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What rights do residents of a privately owned development have regarding religion? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I live in a HUD building for elderly and disabled people. It's subsidized housing, and there are 18 different nationalities in this building. And we had recent guidelines that were passed by the Tenants Association for the person who chooses cards to send to those in the building who are in the hospital ill,
sure,
or to the families that die.
Right.
And the guidelines included cards must have no reference to the Lord or Jesus for their many faith here at Toronto Tower.
Well, let me tell you a couple things, Judith, and I'm glad you called. Number one, you have the right to send those cards out expressing sympathy. You can include a Christian sentiment, Christian statements in it without the fear of any kind of reprisal or any fear there. That is absolutely incorrect. You hang on the line, get us that information, we'll get someone working on it right away for you, okay?
If you have questions regarding law and religious liberties, visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. And joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were talking about, my goodness, life, Jesus. My goodness, what a... It's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful to walk on the face of this earth right now and to enjoy the fellowship of God and the fellowship of brothers and sisters. You know, we're getting ready to share. Steve has some great things that the Lord is sharing with him about a journey and a testimony in his own life of just some amazing just transformation. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited about hearing that. But, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in New Paltz, this is in New York, some young people, some college students, they went to a thrift store, and I guess they were looking for a couch, you know, for their apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bought this couch. I've been there, done that. When I was in college, I'm like, yeah, I'll take that one, the smelly one. Yeah, that one.
The real cheap
Yeah,
one.
The real cheap.
Which one costs least?
I don't care if the dog bit out of that cushion. We will take it. This is for the dorm room. This is for the apartment. We will take it. But they found this couch, and it was, I guess, $20 they paid for it. Mm-hmm. And when they got it home, one of them stuck their hands in the back of the couch or in the seat, you know, in the cushion, and what they found really amazed them. You'll be shocked. They found an envelope with I think it was a wad of 20s or something, but they found an envelope with a bundle of money, and it was $700. And so they're like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, $20 investment and $700 return. And then a few minutes later, they find another 1,000. And they're really flipping out right now. They're like, okay, you know, this is pretty cool. And as the story goes, Little Rebellion is reporting this. It's a website that after some time, they just kept digging and digging and digging, and they kept finding all this, like, wads of money.
Mm-hmm.
It totaled, get this, $40,000 was stuffed in this couch.
Wow.
$40,000.
Wow.
And so they're like, oh my goodness. You know, they're just going nuts over this. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, $40,000 in cash. What do we do with this? And of course, they're like, oh, maybe we should keep it. You know?
Right.
And then they started thinking, these are college students. And so they go on to try to, you know, they start asking themselves all these questions like, hey, what do we do with this? Should we return this? You know, there's no, you know, there's no, no name, or they couldn't find it at the time, no notes. And somehow they found a name in one of the pieces of paper, something that they found in the couch. And so I think it was one of the parents basically who they actually, you know, shared it with their parents. Hey, we found this money, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were like, maybe we should get it back to that person, you know. And so lo and behold, I think the parent connected the name and the number to, you know, they connected. And so they're like, okay, let's call this woman and find out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go through this whole process of, you know, should we meet this lady, give her the money? What if this lady's going to do this bad stuff with the money? We can do good stuff with this money, you know? And and what if she's going to do something evil? Mm-hmm. And is it really hers and all this? And so they said, no, we're going to do the right thing. We're just going to go and return this money. So they go meet this lady, and they show up, I guess, I believe a daughter comes out as well, because they were thinking that maybe they could pay their student loans off with this. And when the woman comes out, come to find out that they're like, the minute they saw her, they're like, oh, this lady's nice, you know, oh my goodness. And they just start talking to her, and they come to realize the full story of what happened. That the way they share the story is that her husband was giving her money, and he had a heart condition for a while, and he knew that time was limited, and so he would give her money each week, you know, and she would just, you know, stick it in the couch. Get this, she would stick it in the couch,
mm-hmm.
and for 30 years.
Wow.
She stored her savings inside of this old couch, okay? And she just kept sticking it back in there. And this was in her, I guess it was in her room. She just kept, you know, putting it in there. Well, when her husband passed away, you know, it's all said and done. She wound up getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she wound up having to, you know, take care of herself. And she was out of the house. Apparently someone in the house had got rid of the couch to make room for, I think, another bedding or something like that for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, where'd the couch go? And she's like, oh my goodness, nobody knew except her that the money was inside this couch.
All right.
And through the hand of God, brought this couch back to her. And it was just money that her husband had been putting away for her to put away. And she wound up giving the young people $1,000 reward and everything.
Oh, wow.
You know, she didn't have to do that. And you know, the guys were like, yeah, we almost didn't buy the couch because it was kind of smelly and, you know, but we just got it, you know.
Right.
But is that an amazing story?
That is amazing. Yeah.
Full circle.
Full circle. 40,000. What will you do? So many times people find something and say, what a blessing. That wasn't a blessing. You took that. It wasn't a blessing. You know, I mean, it's somebody. It belongs to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just proud of these young people. Kind of restores, you know, a lot of things in the news you hear disparaging about young people, and they're kind of coming down on them a lot. But it's really encouraging when you hear a story like this where you say, wow, look at this young person.
Right.
These young people, you know, they have integrity. They follow their parents' advice, and they say, hey, let's get this money. Let's see if we can get this money back. And they gave away
$40,000.
Gave it back to the person. And when they heard the story, they were like, oh my, could you imagine hearing that story? And then on the news, woman who was sick, you know, lost her couch. Has anyone found their couch? And you took that money and you spent it or something? You're like, oh my goodness, that was a woman's money. We could have returned it. So it just gets you to think, hey man, you know, let's keep the main thing the main thing and understand that, hey, we're here to bless other people. We're here to help other people and take care of our neighbors, because, you know, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. And, you know, when you're able to do that, get outside of yourself and say, you know, we're going to return this. We're going to give this back.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet she was very, very appreciative over that amount of money.
Wow.
I think it's powerful just thinking about that. And it's just like all the different thoughts they could have had. But like, you know, like what you were talking about before. So it's like having that perspective and not being so quick to say, like, oh, sweet, blessing. Now I can pay off, go through the list. It's just like, okay, God, are you trying to teach me something here? Is this a test? But just take that moment to really, okay, ask God about it. God, what do you want me to do with this?
Yeah.
And that's that huge thing. It's just like, imagine how that affected their lives, knowing the fact that they were able to respond and affect her life.
Mm. Yeah, it's huge. Every single day we can do something for somebody that would have impact.
Mm.
We're just looking for opportunities. God sets them up all the time. We got to seize them, jump on them, right, and do what God will require us to do and say, hey, you know what? When you do it, say, hey, that was God. God's just loving on you. We're so excited about all these opportunities that we have to show the love of God and to do great works in His name. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is the time that on the side of history, because this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to Him like the first and the second Great Awakening, He can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world.
Mm.
Here to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalicheski.
Hello.
Hello. Well, you know, of our previous program, we were talking and sharing about just some really awesome, kind natured acts that were happening amongst young people. If you missed any programs, always you can go to VFNTV.com and access VFN radio and TV in so many different ways. Just pick one. You have the podcast. You have the Torch. Of course, you can download the app and take VFN radio on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always – I love introducing that app, by the way. You know, I'm talking to someone and they say, well, how – look, here, just download the app. And they're like, man, that's – just pop right in there. So it's pretty cool. But in today's program, we're going to be talking about some things that are going to be changing with your cell phones. You did not know this, but change is coming, and it may
serve.
Oh, well, we don't know about that. We don't know about that. You do want to stay tuned because that new iPhone 6 is coming out, and it's going to be a change. Mm. And someone told me this was coming, and now we know it's coming. But also, too, we're going to be sharing about the workings of men versus the workings of God. And I know Steve is going to be sharing with us even now about the journey that he has been on personally, an awesome transformation. Mm-hmm. Steve, talk to us. I mean, I know God's done so much in your life.
Oh, yeah.
What's the Lord saying?
I've just been so encouraged just thinking about it, even now what God's doing. And, you know, it's always that important perspective to remember where we came from. You know, we didn't just get here. Mm-hmm. And I was having lunch and recently with Greg, and we were talking, and he just began to just remind me of just like, remember this. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, and he's like, this is important. And it just really, I really just got to thinking and going back and remembering so many of the transitions and so many of those learning moments that God has just taken me on. And it just, I was like, and I thought about it, and it's just like, if I would have known then what God has shown me now, it's just like how quickly we were able to grow. And I think about, you know, God has blessed me with just like, you know, Pat, when I first met you, you know, mm-hmm. we had those village in coffee moments of just, you know, guys just coming together and sharing about our week, praying for one another. And it's just like how much that helped me to grow, and how many don't have that, but be able to just to be share those stories. And it just really began to remind me, it's just like when God came into my life, I really was like, I wanted to tell everybody. Mm. And at that time, I was living in an apartment complex, and I would just like, I would get home from school, and I was going back to college, and I was just like, I was praying for my neighbors, and I was praying for my neighbors mm-hmm. in the morning and afternoon, and I wasn't really meeting too many people, because it was always just kind of an awareness. It's just like in our culture, it's like people come home from work and they go right home. They go right into their garage, and you're like trying to wave at them, and they're like, they go right home. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple buildings in that apartment complex where I used to live. So I was like, I would get creative, and I was like, okay, God, maybe I'll walk counterclockwise this time, or after counterclockwise. Okay, maybe I'll walk counterclockwise, or I'll walk this way around this building. But I was so limited to that basically property line, and this was going on for months, and I was getting so frustrated. But I was like, they're not responding. I'm praying. I'm talking. They're like, nobody's saying anything. And it was just like, if I would have known the fact that, like, okay, you can go beyond that. Because I remember a conversation I had with Greg, and he was just so patient, and he's just like, so did you think about going across the street? And it's like, I'm like, that's a great idea. I was like, no, it never crossed my mind. And it totally blew my mind, because sometimes that we can put ourselves in a box and mm-hmm. not even realize how we're limiting ourselves, that, you know, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, and it's just like, you know, we can get so focused on that person right next to us. Granted, okay, but if we've shared it or if we're not getting anything, okay, hey, just
move on.
It's okay to move
on. Okay.
Jesus moved on. There, not everybody said yes.
Mm-hmm. Some threw him out of town.
Yeah, and when he said that, it really began to just open up the horizons of understanding what Jesus was doing. And at that time, I was on a college campus, going back to school with a little bit more maturity. And I don't remember this conversation. But Greg faithfully reminds me. Oh, more than
he's good at that.
More than once, which is good, because you know Jesus talks about, you know, I'll make you fishers of men, right? So we think about, like, hey, you know, we're fishing for those encounters. We're fishing for people that are hungry for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't remember this conversation, but I guess reportedly.
Allegedly. I love that.
Allegedly, I had told him, I said, there's no fish here. There's no fish here.
And there's
wrong thing to say.
There's and he was just and again.
How many thousands are there?
So patient. Last time I checked, I think they were up to about 16,000.
Okay, okay.
Where's this at?
This is at the University of West Florida.
Oh.
And I just didn't like I said, I was in that box. So, you know, I'm just walking and like I said, I so wanted people to know the Jesus that had changed my life. And I remember, like, when I would get out of class, you know, God was just speaking to me, and I was praying for my classmates, praying for my teachers, and even, and it's amazing how a lot of college campuses are, they're, like, sectional. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got your math buildings, your science buildings, so if you're in a specific major, you might never go to that side of the campus.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, around specific hours after, like, the 5:15 or 2:15, a lot of the classes were let out. So all of a sudden, there's people all over campus. And I remember, like, the Holy Spirit would say, okay, go talk to him. And he would be, like, across the square, like, a good 50 yards. So I would run, and I'd be like, okay, you know, obedient. God wants obedience. So I'm, like, running. And even now, just thinking back, because I would want people to know this Jesus. So I would like run to him. I'd be like, hey, hey, I just, and trying to tell him how Jesus loves him. And it was just kind of like, people were like, what are you doing?
You're freaking me out.
And
right
I'm freaking
now.
Me out. And it was just like, I was so like, I just so wanted to minister to
sure.
other people. But it's just like that journey that I went on of learning to hear God's voice and responding. And we have, you know, there's, you know, God says, you know, share your, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And if you haven't heard about it, you can go to Meet My Father and read the testimonies that others have shared about what Jesus Christ has done in their life. So I had taken basically sheets because I wanted to put them like all over, because at the campus I was at, if you had an organization, a student organization, they would put up marketing or come to the dance or come to the party, whatever it was. Well, I was putting meetmyfather.org on bed sheets and basically tying them between trees and putting them all over campus, all over campus.
This is a huge campus now. What you drive is like a giant billboard.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I never thought about this, but like when you go on Meet My Father, the first testimony is Greg's testimony. And like when you read about it, it's basically what God had done in Greg's life. And again, Greg's so patient, and he's talking, and he says, so you're leading people to my testimony. And I was like, oh, right. And he's like, why don't you lead people to your testimony? that's a great idea. And never crossed my mind. So I was like, okay. And so I start putting my testimony on there, and it's all over, and trying to put it on campuses. And, you know, I wasn't a student organization, so they would get taken down and put them back up, get taken down, put them back up, get taken down. And I was like, okay, well, how can, and I started, I was like praying about it, and I'm like, how can I do this? And I remember I was on a prayer walk with Greg on campus. And I can specifically remember the very place that we were walking on campus. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, if you open your mouth, you don't need a sheet. Mm. And I was like, okay. I was like, and it was getting over that fear of just like getting over that fear of man and just like just being a bold witness for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I got chalk. And you think about, like, children, if you go on, like, a sidewalk, you'll see chalk all over, and it doesn't, like, you know, if it rains, it you know, it just simply washes away.
Right.
So I began to take chalk, and I would write all over meetmyfather.org/Steve K, and it was basically the URL to my specific testimony. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing it all over campus, all over. And I'm sure there's security cameras somewhere of me writing on, like, sidewalks all over everything. And I remember one day, I'm walking into class, and there was a new math building that was just recently, well, not at the time, it had just recently been built. And it was a wide sidewalk. I'm talking probably 20 feet wide.
Wow.
And now, mind you, the chalk that I had been writing was probably, like, the normal size of a pencil. And I was just writing small. I was just writing the URL, trying to... I was going for more, I guess, you know, I don't know, just writing as much as possible. But what I had seen was, I walk up and there is this mural, basically, of chalk writing across the whole sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. 20 feet wide.
20 feet wide, and probably, like, I mean, as you're walking, you would probably take 4 or 5 steps just to get over these words. And it was a girl. She wasn't there at the time. It was her words. And it was a girl writing encouragement to her boyfriend for the math test he was about to have. And it was basically saying, I love you, honey. Love you, sweetie. Your girlfriend. I hope you do good on your math test.
Wow.
And that so convicted me, because I was like, she is unashamedly in love with her boyfriend. And I was like, look at my little things of Jesus. And I was like, God, I'm like, I want to love you like that. I'm like, man. And it was amazing, because it was that transition of just growing and getting, wanting to share his love like she shared. And I remember just sitting on that park bench looking at that. And it was, that was a humbling moment for me, because I'm like, she loves her boyfriend more than I love Jesus. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That's got to change. And
so what'd you do?
So I went and I got bigger chalk.
I got
bigger
chalk. Man-sized chalk.
I got some man-sized chalk.
Oh, you had the little pencil?
Yeah, chalk? Like the
is that what you're using?
The little pencil.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm like praying, and I'm like, God, I repent, Lord. I'm like, I want to love you more. And I was just and I just think about how patient God was with me. So I'm like, literally everybody I can talk to, and I made like flyers, and I'm like, you know, here's my testimony, you know, here, you know, check out what Jesus Christ has done in my life, you know, if you want to meet Jesus. And then I have this epiphany, and I'm just like, I wonder what I'm sending people to. Like, what's on this website? Because I had written out my testimony.
You never saw it.
Well, I mean, I saw it, but I didn't exactly think about it in deep, you know. Okay, reminding myself what did I write, right? So I go back, and this is after, like, handing out, like, I don't know, lots and lots of flyers. So I go back home that day, and I go on the website, and I go back, and my face is, like, melting as I'm reading this. And I'm like, it's like, me, and my, and blame, and this is what happened, and me, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, it's about me. I was like, this is horrible. And I remember calling Greg, and I'm like, can I change my testimony? And he was like, that's a great idea. But he was just so patient, because it's a journey.
Yeah.
You don't just get there. But I remember that awareness of just like, oh my goodness. Like, I remember the time that you had said before, it's just like, when we come to Christ, there's that significant season of us and self. Mm-hmm. There's a defined moment of encountering the awesome power of Jesus. But then there's that difference. The old has gone, the new has come. And it's just like, when we just meet Jesus, we don't have a lot of that journey of with him. We just met him.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know a lot about him, but I know he's awesome, and I want you to know him.
Right.
And it's like, you look back at that story, and I'm like, it's only about me. And it's just like that last sentence of just like, hey, if you want to meet
God.
Yeah.
And if you want to know about him, you can meet him too.
Yeah. And it's like, and then I met Jesus, and I'm like, okay, there's got to be more than the 5 addendums of me and then the subparagraph of Jesus.
Well, you're on a journey.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. You're on a journey, and it's interesting, and it's so cool to see just how, you know, God has brought you from, you know, your sincere desire to mm-hmm. want to know him, to tell others, and how God was changing in your own life. When we come back from this break, Steve's going to continue to share with you everything that God has done. Maybe not everything, but he'll share with you mm-hmm. some awesome transformation as God's just continued to bring them through, and gives me and others, I'm sure, a bunch of encouragement. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Which we want to kind of hear what's coming from our heart there, because, mm-hmm. you know, I really believe God's calling people that really want to be a part in this day of being the answer, not complaining about darkness,
yes.
not screaming at darkness, but about being the light. Let's just join in just for a quick little moment there at the VFN Dream Center.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour, chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what was I doing? I mean, the last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running, and I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running, and it's just me and him in the woods, and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? And we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff, and I'm chasing this, you know, I was in better shape then. I was chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And all of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. And I was running through these woods. It wasn't dark to me. It was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree, and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they go, they said, we're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light. And I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no, right? I don't have no light. And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am, right here, help me, I'm right here, please don't let him bite me. Anyway, and so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him, I said, listen, I said, I was chasing you. And I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sure goes a lot further than salt. He was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm feeding on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
That's so important because Jesus said, your word is a lamp. The word of God says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, which means the word of God is a light that tells us where we're at.
Yeah.
And it's a light that tells us where we're going, a vision for our life. Mm-hmm. Although that was having a little fun with it. But the reality is a lot of people are running through life with a flashlight because they've made a decision to follow Jesus, but they did not get in the word. As a matter of fact, 81%, according to George Barner, don't even get into the word. So I just want to encourage you. It's time to get into the light. Maybe the dream's for you. If you're in the Gulf Coast region, come join the dream at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org or join one of our virtual members from around the world. Just go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org and you can join the dream.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, tell us about this journey, man.
So I'm continuing to just try to minister as best I can on a college campus of 15,000 people, and I'd spent years there, graduated, but at that time, like, I was just so hungry to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And it was during that last semester that God was showing me that I'm calling you to Pittsburgh. But the thing about it, though, is just, like, if I would not have been faithful with the apartment complex, if I would not have been faithful with the college campus, where God presently had me would God have still said, I want you to go to Pittsburgh?
Right.
And so because of that, I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go. And I go to Pittsburgh, and I was there for a season, and I ministered to whoever I could in the workplace, in my neighborhood, in the city. And then God said, okay, I want you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned all that, and how God, I mean, it's just like there's so many stories of, I mean, absolute miracles of how God provided everything to get to Pittsburgh, and not only to get back, but I even think about the significance of those village in relationships, and even the relationship that we still have now.
Mm-hmm.
It's that because of God and how he placed those people around me to give me wisdom. And, you know, you're laughing because we're saying during the break that, you know, you remember all those business ideas that we were talking, because, you know, I wanted to just not godly businesses. And you were so patient. You're like, I wouldn't exactly do that. It's probably not a smart idea. Why don't you pray about it? just being able to have patience and understand the fact that, you know, it's okay if when you have a newborn baby, if they got dirty diapers.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay because it's a journey. Because every single person who's a heart surgeon, they were a baby at one time. And it's just like Jesus says that, you know, we must be born again. It's a journey. We got to grow up in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to even think about the fact of how God says, okay, I want you to come back. And doing where God has me now, God reminded me, it's just like the things that we're writing for Jesus. Like we talk about the torch and we're writing out what God is saying. And even that conversation that I had with Greg recently, it reminded me, it's just like, do you remember that it started with you writing with chalk?
Mm.
And now I'm writing with a keyboard.
Right.
And but the powerful thing is, though, but it's done for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's just like, I just feel like that there's those listening. It's just like, you know, you're there with your chalk and you're thinking that you're not doing anything. You know, we were talking about before, John, we were talking about the seven mountains. And it's just like we can, you know, believe that deceptive lie and think that people are impacting others out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, what am I doing for Jesus where I am? And it's just like, if you're just faithful with where you are, even if it's with the lady next to you and you're just giving her, you know, a batch of cookies and telling her Jesus loves you, mm-hmm. you're making an impact for the mm-hmm. kingdom. You're making an impact for Jesus. And it just really encouraged me to think about the fact of the journey that God has taken me on. And it's just like, you know, if God's moving in your life, you're on that journey. Don't neglect where you are mm-hmm. on the way to where you're going. Mm-hmm. Know that God has you there for a reason. And just let him do what God wants to do, because he's the one in control. And I love how you say that, John. It's just like, today's okay. It doesn't matter when you know the one who holds tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just have that abiding relationship, get connected, be related, and allow people to just say, hey, that's probably not a good idea. You should probably pray about it. And have those moments of just, you know, having that relationship and just spending time with God and watch what he does in your life and remember the journey along the way. It's mm-hmm. it's exciting.
It is exciting because that's the journey of discipleship.
Mm.
That's the journey of walking out your life, your what God has done in your life
mm-hmm.
with someone alongside of you that is going to help disciple you, is going to help, you know, mold you, impart life to you, and help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no man's an island, and we all need each other. Mm-hmm. We need people to speak into our lives,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
and we need to speak into the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make ourselves available to that, you know, what would have happened if you had said, hey, thanks for the advice, but no thanks. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, well, okay, I'll take that under consideration. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We limit our opportunity to grow in God if we think we have all the answers.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing, because it's just like, what if I would have gotten so stuck on the fact of just like, I want my apartment complex to know Jesus. I want my apartment complex to know. And there's a lot of people.
You'd still be sitting there.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that are, because I, like I said, I was frustrated. And there's a lot that are frustrated, and it's just like when you have that awareness of just like, okay, there are others that are dying to know him, that are saying, is there a people? Yes, there is a people if you're willing to go and just follow him.
That's so wonderful. Listen, there is a people. All you need to do is yield,
mm.
right? And just say, God, here I am. do what you want with me, and I will listen. I will follow. I will let you take me on this journey. And since you didn't know what you were doing before you came to Christ, now that you came to Christ, it's a good idea to listen, right? Yeah. And learn and listen to those who have walked before you. They'll bring you along the way. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect
anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.